teaches a class of cultural knowledge of the Native elders. Today is October 25, 2005, and my name is Ida Siglao Nakayak Alak Yasik Kayutak Ayalkok Taltik, and I'm missing one. Anyway, those were my India names that were given to me. And so I'm a full-blooded India. So I'm really happy to be here and excited to teach you or answer any questions in reference to our culture. And the theme that is always in my heart is the spiritual essence of our India culture. That's my theme. So this is going to be informal.
Mm-hmm. And then what we're going to do now is each of the students will introduce themselves,
okay.
Where they come from, the year that they're in the school, and what they're interested in other India culture.
Wonderful.
My name is Ulrich Olron. I'm from CHIVAC. I'm a senior. My major is rural development. And my interest is about hunting.
Mm-hmm.
Hunting, the different hunting the men do.
Okay. I have that information with me.
Okay.
And that you're graduating?
Hopefully in May. There's a couple classes that are kind of iffy. If not next May, then December.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
My name is Holly Lukulin. I'm from Fairbanks. I'm a junior in the art program here. I'm interested in your culture, how you use the resources of where you are, and I'm interested in like sewing.
I have that also. I have some patterns. It won't be a general class, but I brought some patterns you could make patterns out of. And it's just a general information. I won't let you sew or anything, just a knowledge of how to do it. I'll be here for a month and I can show you our beautiful culture, the spiritual essence of our India culture. Yes, I can do that.
Hi Edith, my name is Minnie Naylor and I'm from Coxview. And my major is rural development and this is my junior year. And I'm not too sure about a topic quite yet.
Any questions? You know, feel free. And, I'm not going to force anything out of any of you. I love to share my colors. I even caught it in India when I went there. Even little kids know it, like 3-year-olds. I know a dance. And some of us here know how to do it.
What dance?
Huh?
What dance?
Amayana Khan. Yeah. You know that one?
Yeah.
Good. It's a universal dance. Eskimo dance from the north. Yeah.
I'm Dan. I'm from London. Studying natural resources management and something generally interesting in environmental aspects of human nature policy, and went to AFM, the digital practical school there. And have got to take this topic yet for our work.
My name is Barley.
I know exactly, it just came up to my head. I think so. Yeah.
I have to reply. I come from a small village of Atlantic, which is in the low town, southwest of the part of Alaska.
Bethel?
Yeah, near Dillingham. Near Dillingham, I was on the way to the city of Atlantic. So, Alaska. And I'm visiting the church on campus. I've never lived in a city. The process that we use with Dell is each of them express an individual interest in one area of the UDEC culture.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they focused on during their individual interviews.
Yes.
And then in the class session, we focused on the life history of Dell. And I don't know if you want to reverse that, because we can have each of the people here that lead the discussion focus on their topic point, or would you be comfortable in having us do a life history of you starting from birth and to your present age?
What is the wish of the students? That's what I want to know. This is your classroom, and I'm here to educate you. I'm pretty sure there's some questions in reference to our culture, Inuit culture. That's what I want. What do they want to learn about our Inuit culture? And I can do, because I brought my genealogy.
So maybe we can start with that one.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Is Is that okay with everybody? Okay.
And I guess what we need for the tape is we need your full name, and then we sort of need, you know, where you were born, the date of your birth. So at some point, because these are going to the archives, and at some point somebody will pull you up and give some information from this recording.
Right. And one of the things that I required was having to read it.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to be written by this one.
Oh, good. Okay.
And hopefully they'll have something to present to you at the end of the session.
Cassie, the reason why I required that was one of my grandnephews, we were going back and forth to the fair that they were hot, and they were cutting up, and it was just a beautiful, exciting week. And he was helping cutting, and we were eating practically every day in different houses where they cut the fair. And he asked, what's going to happen if there's no electricity and no more gas, no more oil? And so, oh, wow. That really got me thinking about it's crucial that we teach you how we lived a long time ago before electricity, before skidoo, before stoves. You know, how did they maintain warmth? How did they? And so that's what I want to share that when I'm here. First of all, the most important thing is that I come from a very big family. My grandfather was one of the leaders in our village where I was born. I was born in Kahlon. Catholic, Alaska. K-A-K-T-O-V-I-K. And like I said, when I was born, I was named Ida, Sinilang, Nakayak, and they gave me Eskimo name. Alak Sinlan Kayasuk Ayatko Kayutak Tarpi. There's a story
you
behind that.
You
oh, I'm sorry. you're writing it all down. Okay. There's a story behind all those names. Alak is our dad was adopted to Kinakdak. Oh, okay. Alak, A-A-L-A-A-K. Alak. Sirang, S-I-R-R-A-U-N. Alak. Sirang. Kilasuk, K-I. No, Diu. Diu. Kilasuk. Q-I-L-A-T-S-U-K. S-U-K. Allah Sinan Klaatu, Ayal Hop, Ayal, Ayal, Y-A-L, Ayal Hop, Ayal Hop. I have a, Ayal, but there's the L there. The reason I was going to Kayutak is Q-A-Y-U. Kayutak. Q-A-Y-U-T-A-Q. Yeah. Kayutak. conductor? Yeah, you got it. Ah, yeah. You know why they name me so many names? They say, if a baby cries too much, they say, she's wanting a name. And they see how many I got? Six? And they say, oh, she might be, she maybe she wants to be named this and classic. I have called so they all name it. Alak was our dad's real mom. Alak. Our dad's
grandma?
Yeah, our dad's real mom was Alak. And Kongoyuk. Kongoyuk. With a tail. Q-U-N with a tail. Kungu. U. Y-U-K. Kungu. Yeah, Kungu. And so, when Allah passed away, because there was an epidemic, when she passed away, he couldn't take care of the little baby because Raymond was a little baby then. When our dad was born, I'm sorry, when our dad was born, when the mother passed away, Allah passed away, our dad. So, our dad, in our culture, there were some families that grew up together, their considered even closer than blood relatives. So he grew up with Lara Abakana, and Dorothy Panikpan, and Icha was one of the relatives also that he grew up with. So he's a prominent polar bear hunter. I remember growing up, we never were hungry. We were poor, but we were never hungry because he was a good hunter. I think that was one of the wealth of being an immigrant was that it was really good when you marry somebody that could provide for you, that could hunt for you. Mm-hmm. And so our dad married Burmese Martha Abiwala. She died, and she had Martha. Martha was older than she alive. There was Percy Earl, Patsy. Those that were deceased. And Martha and Raymond. Raymond was a little baby when Bernice passed away, so he got adopted by Hester and Athenia. That's our real brother. We don't consider them less, and we don't call them half brothers. They are our siblings. And so Martha is the oldest and Raymond, and then our mom, Rhoda Nayaka, took care of Bernice while she, because they were like this, they were best friends. And she was taking care of her and taking care of the baby. And so one of the things that Bernice said was, please take care of, you know, Nakaya. So she married him. I think it was a loving relationship. You know how it is with friends, and yeah, and something happens, and that It's a beautiful story. I think mom told me about that story. So I was like, wow. It's a beautiful house. And so mom married our dad. And so we had James Nayak. He was the teacher. He's a professor. But actually, when they were going to high school, James and Marianne in Sheldon Jackson, they used to compete. They still compete today in snow. Either one of them want to be the greatest snow player. Everybody knows. Some of them. You'll learn. I hope you'll learn before I leave. It's a wonderful game. It's a good mind exercise game. So we call it snow. So, James.
What's your parents' name?
Benson and Rhoda Nayak.
Oh, Benson and Rhoda?
Yeah. Benson and Rhoda Nayak. B-I-N-C-E-N-T. So.
And Rhoda?
Rhoda. R-H-O-D-A.
And so James is the oldest.
From our mom. That's where I was headed. With Raymond. I mean, with James and Marianne went to the same school, Sheldon Jackson. They were in high school. Guess what happened? One of them became a valedictorian, and the other one was salutatorian. I don't know which one. They competed. And it was good, I think, for their academic life in SJ in high school. They competed so much that they excelled where they became valedictorian and salutatorian. Oh, you're one of the top class,
highest
academic people.
The
valedictorian is a high
overall,
yeah. And the next one is salutatorian. So I hope you have it here at UAS. Brother, James. My mom had James, Marianne.
So Marianne was James' sister?
Sister, yes.
And they were close in age, or?
Uh-huh. One time, our parents took a trip to Barrow, because the only way they could go to the store, and get stuff from the store was through boat, and it took a while to go. And so they left Marianne, a little baby, to our aunt, Melvin and Herman Rutherford, our aunt, Melvin Rutherford. So she stayed there. And Mom had James on her back and took him to Barrow. When they came back, she didn't want to leave her aunt. She was already attached. So in our culture, it's okay. So she stayed there. She's adopted to Herman and Melvin Rutherford. But she's our sister. So Priscilla is the next one, P-R-I-S-C-I-L-L-A. Priscilla said she was here during the AFM. So there's from Rhoda. This is from Rhoda. James Marianne Priscilla. Lloyd, L-L-O-Y-D, Lloyd. And there's me. And there's Benjamin. Benjamin Roy, Benson Nayak Jr., and Susan. So so there's 9 of us, right? 11 from Bernice, Martha, Abimelech.
So there's James, Maria, the people of Lloyd,
Roy, and then Benson, Rakilio, oh. And then Susie.
Roy is speaking right now, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nine of them.
11. Counting Miriam, Martha and Raymond.
Martha and Raymond were from?
Bernice Martha Abimara, the mother. The first wife of Vincent Naya.
Oh, okay.
The first wife of Vincent Naya, and she passed away, and then our mom. He married our mom, and that's it. James, Miriam, sister.
So Bernice and Rhoda were good friends?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Bernice gave permission.
Well, Rhoda. Actually, she said please, please. Very good care of, Vincent. Excuse me, I'll be right back. This is our family.
Yeah.
This is from,
Could you zoom in to the photo? Yep.
Yeah.
And then you could point.
Okay. This is Martha Aiken.
We can sit closer to
them. And this is, can you see?
Otherwise we're not there. Oh, Martha!
You know
she's
Martha?
Your sister.
Yes, she's my sister.
You know Martha?
Martha Aiken.
Uh-huh.
She's been involved in so many, especially school board a long time ago, and she,
mm-hmm.
She was a long time member of the ballet dance group.
Mm-hmm.
For many, many, many years. And this is
Raymond.
Uh-huh. He's just like our father. He loves to hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially at down at the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
So every time he catches seal or walrus or something, we know where to get the good food.
Mm-hmm.
Raymond. And this is James. Reverend James Mumiralu Naraya. He used to teach here at UAF. And this is Miriam. She's a preacher at our church right now. Reverend Miriam Warden.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Priscilla Sage. She's one of the instructors for the team sailing for the sailboat. She knows a lot about that. And this is Lloyd. He loves to he was involved with a summer camp in Kaktoni, so he enjoys doing that. And this is of course me. And this is Ben. He was the mayor for a while, one term, North Loboro mayor. And this is Roy Naraya. He's also involved in the school board for a long time. Still involved in the UIC also, because our corporation, there's some pamphlets, if you want to know about our corporation. And this is Vincent Nara Jr. He was born in Barron. All of us were born in Castellani. Junior was born in Bell, and also Susie was born in Bell. So this is my family.
Mm.
And I was born in Cocktail. I was born in a fishing camp in Cocktail. And I've been asking around. I have an interest in who midwife, my mom, and my grandmother and Dorothy Funnycutt were involved in, being there who our mom was having, really in that time, in that teaching time. And it was usual, I think, a long time ago, no problem, you know. So the reason why was there was a lot of activity, a lot of chopping wood, walking around, and there were less, there was no diabetes, no high blood pressure because of that activity that we did as in depth a long time ago. There was those feedings, you know.
When was your birthday?
June 20, 1947.
Mm-hmm.
So I was born in Cocktovich and raised in Barrow. Our dad moved the whole family in 1956. He built the house, a two-story house in Barrow. And I remember clearly when I was 8 years old and getting out of the plane and felt like I was born again. moved to a different place and so excited. And
when did you guys move to Barrow?
1956. And that's when I first experienced that big school we had, the elementary school, the old elementary school we had. Mrs. Johnson was my teacher here. I had all A's in my report card. I love, to this day, I still love to learn. Yes. Kubrakdovich. Yeah, that's what, you know what Kubrakdovich is, that's where they fish. Kubrak. Q-U-B, Kubrak. R-A-T. D-U-G with a dot on top. Kubrakdovich. V-I-K. So, I was raised in Barrow. Had elementary schooling there in Barrow. And I went to Wrangell Institute. And so, from Wrangell Institute,
what year did you go to
Wrangell? Wrangell Institute. There was about four of us. I don't know whether it was academically motivated, whether we were like, because I excelled in school. I was one of the top spellers, so I remember me, either Kenner or Craig or Kumar and somebody else, Verna, I think. Verna Suwalek, they sent us out to Wrangell Institute. And maybe because we were academically that's what I like to think.
Do you remember what year it was when you went to Wrangell?
If I had graduated in 66 from Monash, from I was there 66, 65, 64, 66. So it should be 62, 61, 62. Because I graduated from Monash from in 1966. So after Wrangell, that's where I went to school. I went to school in Manderson High School. It was a boarding school. I really liked what they did to us because I think staying home, we had no concept of waking up, doing chores, and all that stuff. They taught us how to like wake up at certain times, make your bed, clean up your room. I think they conditioned us to be in a workforce, work area that to this day I think that really helped us a lot in educating us, you know, wake up, get ready, go to work, and that was really good. The sad part of it, about going out from our home, which had been last our language. We ended up going home just speaking English, because we were total in gap when I was growing up. The time I can remember, one of my role models, and he's a mentor, the late Dr. Harold Kalilik, was one of my mentors. I respected him a lot. When we were going to elementary school, we could only speak in English. We could understand English. And it was so fortunate that we had an English teacher, because when we couldn't understand, he would talk to us in our language and say, oh, okay. So that was very fortunate for us to have an English teacher who knew. He was one of the first teachers. We had only one room, and it's still there in Cocktail, one room house from first grade on to, I think it was eighth grade. And that's why I think they couldn't have a high school. They didn't have a high school. That's why they had to take us out to my mission. And we have learned to walk in two worlds. We still maintain our culture. I can still talk in my language. I can write. I can read. So I encourage you. You can learn our language. If people can learn French, if people can learn Japanese, if people can learn any other language, why not our language? One individual that I know of, he lived among the Inupiaqs in order to learn our language. So you have the potential of learning our language. There's a lot of curriculum, and of course the internet, so you can learn. And I see it like that. If people can learn other foreign languages, why not? So learn. You can learn it. And I love the accents are beautiful. I just love other cultures. I think Russia, India, different places in the States, in Louisiana, where they have that French black accent. Wow. Different cultures interest me a lot. So I graduated from Monmouth High School. I signed up for a school in Hills Business College right after high school. And unfortunately, it didn't work. Alcohol, it just, I'm going to be honest with you. I was young and drank, and it ended my career in obtaining education. So please, I highly require that you do not get involved with alcohol and drugs. It doesn't help at all. I regret ever doing that, but I can tell you from experience, having a clear head and waking up with a, you know, no hangover, no groggy, you learn a lot. Because I had a quick memory. I was working for ASRC, and I could remember phone numbers and addresses and names before I got into drugs. And it really messed up my mind. So I highly recommend, because it kills yourself.
senior day. From personal experience, that's all. So I graduated from Mount Edgecombe. I went home from California. I had a Hills Business College education. I didn't get a degree. I went home because of alcoholism. I broke my arm and I had to go home. So from there, I got married and had three children. But one of the things that I really liked was that we had a chance to go down to a skill center in Seward, Seward Skill Center, where I obtained my office skill. And that's where I obtained my driver's license. So, and then after that, I raised my children, and at that time, Senator Stevens had asked me to work with him. That was a big opportunity, which I passed up because of my children. I had children at an early age when I was 21 years old. My first child was born when I was 21. And so I have two children. I love my children. They gave me grandchildren, which I remember when I had my first grandchild. It was the most beautiful thing that ever happened to me. When did I get married? 1968, November. November 26th, I believe. Mm-hmm. Merle Nashori from Wainwright. And I had Earl, Andrew, and Bernice Martha Aguilera. I was pregnant with her. And I remember from the top of my head, it's just like, ooh, I'm going to have a girl, and I'm going to name it Bernice Martha Aguilera. In our culture, it's all spiritually motivated, naming. I mentioned Bernice Martha Aguilera. That was our dad's first wife. So I remember going to the hospital, and I was pregnant. And I was next door to my sister's, Martha Aiken. And they had just come back, and they had a whole bunch of stuff that they, and that they shopped. Usually everybody shops when they get out of town. And they came back and gave me a bag. I was really hopeful. And I was so excited, and I laid there. And I remember April 18, 1972, Bernice, when Bernice was about to be born. I called my sister. She came, and the taxi driver was, wait till April 20, because that was his birthday. April 18, she came out really fast. Yeah. The doctor checked me and zoomed me to the delivery room, and she was born fast. April 18. The late Bernice had the Alaska Airlines had a big crash. And there were four students involved from our area. Bernice and two other, Adam and Bobby Brown. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She was one of the ones that crashed. So, and she was born. I had a little girl. Our mom's best friend, Mamie, had just recently died. And I was going to name it Bernice Mamie. And I keep thinking, what am I going to do? And Robert Aiken, the late Robert Aiken, Sr., kept coming to the door. Never say anything. Keep coming to go see baby. And out. Keep coming back and forth. And finally I said, okay, she's going to be Bernice Martha Aguilera. And I remember that tingling feeling from the top of my head down to my toes. And, ooh, I'm going to have a girl, and I'm going to name it Bernice Matabiwa. So when she was about four years old, I think, yeah, 4 or 5, we were having a family dinner, and she said, Mom, I used to have a cat, right? I said, no way. No way. We never had a cat. And she was so persistent. Yes, Mom. I used to have a cat. And so I called my sister Martha Aiken, and I said, did you guys used to have a cat? And she said, yeah. And prior to that, she had said that it was a gray cat. And so, what kind? And she said, a gray cat. So there's a significance of the spirit in the child, in our culture, that, you know, sometimes I see that personality, that person that you have named your child after. And in our culture, right after somebody dies, sometimes you could do that. For instance, our sister Susie was just born, and Ekilasuk had just died. And she was just crying. She couldn't stop crying. So our dad finally said, okay, Ekilasuk. He didn't even know that she had died. So he said, okay, your name's going to be Ekilasuk. And instantly she could cry. So that's one of our naming of our family. So there was domestic violence. A lot of Jews in the church now. I left him in 82. We went to a women's shelter, and ever since that time I started feeling that there was a lot of healing for me. Today I still feel that my culture has kept me sane. It's a beautiful thing to be involved in advances, and listening to the elders' stories, keeping busy, especially walking in the ocean, and anything that has to do with mental health, that we lived that, and it was a beautiful life. That's why I call it the spiritual essence of our culture. People had activity a lot. They chopped wood, they chopped ice, they cut up buried seal, they dried fish, they went out hunting, have to harness the dog team and the sled. And so there was no need for any medicine. Our medicine was, the best medicine for our mental health was the dancing, the Eskimo dance. Oh, it's so wonderful. You could even feel the spirit when you're dancing. And that's the mental health of our immigrant culture. And also being involved in cutting up the quail. A family catches a quail, it's the most joyous thing. And I want to share the spiritual essence of catching a quail. Our mom, before our mom passed away, our brother is a captain, Roy Nahayak. He has a whaling fleet, and he caught a whale, but it was like a whale they call it the delicacy of the elders, because it rises up on the third day, and only the maktak is good. The meat is not edible. You cannot eat the meat. Only the maktak and the lava, the delicacy. And they had killed it, but it was under the ice or something, and it rose on the third day, and like we fed the people, and mom was making biscuits, bread, whatever, and really happy being involved in that. And we hung up the, I remember we hung up the flag. Every time somebody catches a whale, they put it up on top of the house. And we fed the elders that, that maktak, that cooked maktak. And so after 18 days, I think she passed away, May 12th. She passed away May 12th. She wanted to die naturally, and we respected that. Larry was being there, and my brother, you know, being there, and just being there, having her, and it was a beautiful occasion, even though, I don't know, that's our culture, I think we respect, that was one of the indigenous values, respecting the elders and the wishes of our elders, and that's what we did. Anyway, the following whaling season, they caught a brand new one, a brand new whale. Oh, that was so cool. Guess what day we fed everybody? Mother's Day! Is that something? Oh, man! That's what I mean about the spiritual essence of our culture. The whale comes to you, and we had a chance to feed everybody, and everybody was so happy. And the most important thing in my life was the birth of my grandchild. He was born 18 days after our mom died, and our aunt named him Ibekaka, even though he's a little boy. The naming of our children have no gender. There's no gender. A little boy could have a my mom's name, Ibekaka. So he was born May 30. That's another thing that's so amazing. Because our mom, she was an Eskimo comedian. She, ever since I can remember, they made us laugh, the mothers laugh, doing skits and everything. Mom was laughter. I think that's the spiritual essence of mom, right? The following, the first birthday of my grandchild, there was no need for grief. You know why? Her birthday, his birthday, I'm sorry, my grandson's birthday, there was no need for grief because his birthday was on Memorial Day, and we had a big celebration. Just like our mom's, the whale. We had a big celebration on Mother's Day, feeding everybody on Mother's Day. So that's the spiritual essence of our culture. And so I love deeply my grandchildren. The essence of my life right now. I'm retired. I work like 27 years of my life, and I remember getting so tired of waking up 8:30 in the morning. And, you know, and 1997, I think that's when I retired, 1997, 1998. And I fell in love, met Street in 97. And we came here, I call it my heaven of rest, because I really need to rest after working so long. And up at Rosie Creek, that's where we used to live. We had a house up there. So at this moment, I'm at home being with my family and my grandchildren. So there's a big family. Our mom was born in Barrow. There were, anyway, mom had, let's see, 11. 11 siblings. There were 12 altogether, but Dorcas passed away. Two Dorcases. So this is the, anyway, our mom, she grew old with her siblings. Our mom was the oldest, Mildred, the one that adopted Mary Ann, this next one, and Perry Uppercook. Dorcas passed away. Isaac is, he was one of the elders, elder of the year during the AFM. And Thomas passed away. Roy, he's still alive, Roy Uppercook. Dorcas is another child that passed away. Elizabeth is still, Elizabeth Francis, one of my aunts. And George, Akutuk, Uncle George, Daniel Akutuk, and Benjamin is the youngest that had passed away. So during the time, like in 1993, before 1993, my mom Rhoda, Melvin, Perry, Isaac, Thomas, Roy, Elizabeth, George, Daniel, they were in the elder age, and it was so beautiful, bless you. And it was so beautiful to see them at that age and just relishing in their company, their stories. And when we get together, you know, they start telling stories about when we were kids, when we were children. And it's a beautiful, we just had a beautiful gathering of our aunts. Birthday on the 22nd, Saturday. So that was beautiful. One of the beautiful things that we do as a family. So, where was I? Oh, to the moment. To the moment? Any questions about my life, my family? Okay.
You said your mom and your and her siblings told you a lot of stories.
Uh-huh.
They were elders.
Uh-huh.
So you know a lot of stories and legends of, you know, that culture.
Yeah.
But I don't think nobody mentioned that they're going to storytelling. Maybe
I'm
going to
do that.
Maybe that's something I could do on Thursday. Because I'm leading class on Thursday. Maybe
okay.
I could sit in class and talk about stories.
Yes.
On Thursday.
Is that okay with everybody? Yes. Because our mom told us a story, and there's another class that I'm going to be attending. I don't know when, but it'll be done.
We have only a few more minutes.
Okay.
So let's go around the room and then we'll.
Okay. Oh, for 27 years, health and social services. I remember being in radio for a long time, for 10 years, they needed somebody to translate. So I ended up in the radio station with health education, and that's where I got involved with health education. And that was pretty much like 10 years. But I've worked at the hospital, I've worked at the health clinic, and the best part of my working career was working for the health and social services. I worked for the Women in Crisis as an advocate and senior citizens coordinator. I worked with the elders, and that was so wonderful. So they needed somebody to translate, because they were setting up a radio program on the radio, an hour to your health program. And so I ended up being there and worked there for 10 years.
You said you fell in love in 1997.
Uh-huh.
Did you fall in love with
Peter Birchi, German, from Wisconsin. Peter Berchy, B-A-E-R-T-S-C-H-Y. That's my personal life. I joke. No comments.
Yeah.
I joke.
Yeah, spell that again.
B-A-E-R-T-S-C-H-Y. Mm.
Your spelling
left. Of course. Yes. What's her name?
Carrie. You mentioned that naming for your culture has no gender, so you can give a boy, like, how do you say, your mother?
Yes.
But it goes both ways.
Yes. Yes.
When you went to Vatican, did you get any direct
flight for the summer? Oh, we were there for like 9 months.
9 months.
Yes, and go home for the summer. Yes. Uh-huh. It was me. Yes, we had a chance to go home.
Yeah. I don't have it.
Oh, you mentioned your first child was Bernie.
No, my first child was Earl. The oldest one was Earl, and then Andrew, and then Bernice. I have 3 children. And I have 5 grandchildren. Alan, Jonathan, Daisy, Marjorie, and Trevor Jordan.
Trevor?
Trevor. Uh-huh. Trevor Jordan. Yes.